We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The forgotten fruit of the Spirit is kind of what I titled the message. That last verse 23, it says, meekness, temperance, the last of them. You know, a lot of times when we think of the fruit of the Spirit or when we're asking for it, we ask for those first few. Get love, joy, peace, those things that leave us feeling very good, right? We're looking for that love of God, that joy in our life, that peace. We don't often ask for the long-suffering, and help me to be long-suffering. Or then it talks about gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and then this one, temperance, that self-control or that spirit-controlled life. Of course, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he would say in this verse, in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul, of course, writing to the church at Corinth there, and just outside of Corinth, there was some regular, triennial Greek games. And matter of fact, in Corinth, they were a bigger deal than the Olympics of the time. And, of course, we're right in the middle of the Olympics now. Anybody get to watch any of it? I know you might have been soured by the opening, all right? I think everybody was soured by the opening. But anybody watch any of it? And I enjoy more basketball, baseball, football. But I do enjoy, there's some tremendous athletes there that play in different or go into different sports. Some of them individuals. But I looked at the count today, and I think of gold or who was leading the medal count, and the U.S. was ahead. I think they had some 90 some, and China was was behind them at 60 some. And as far as I'm concerned, they can drop to the bottom. All right, there's different ones that have those medal counts. Tremendous athletes that have strived, and really many of them, their whole life has been pointed to that day. Their whole life has been lived for what they're doing that day. It is their life pursuit. It is what they have trained for. It is what they have eaten for. It is what they have slept for. It was their whole pursuit of life to get to where they are in those sports. And of course, in this passage of Scripture, Paul is given a comparison, and he's given that comparison how they were striving for that mastery, to be the best at what they had, and yet they do it for a corruptible crown. They do it for something that is fading. To be honest, what is won now will be forgotten in another 4 years as somebody else strives to win it. And it's a corruptible crown. It's something that fades away. Yet God has promised us something that fadeth not away, reserved forever in glory, right? That incredible inheritance. They're striving for something that, in terms of eternity, will not matter much. But Paul uses this incredible comparison to the Christian life, and in it, he calls us to have a like-minded temperance, to have a like-minded temperance. Of course, that wonderful, he would speak of that fruit of the Spirit of temperance, of what the Holy Spirit can produce in our life. And when he says about temperance, he said in all things that we should be, that matter of that spirit-controlled, self-controlled matter should touch every aspect of our life. We all know those, maybe in your own mind, you could think of folks who have lost that temperance. I think of those in Scripture. Many illustrations of folks in Scripture who, I think of David, talk about a fellow who, because of a lack of self-control, cost him greatly. I think of Nebuchadnezzar as an intemperate man, as he would the things that would happen there and allow people to sway him by a few words to sign decrees that could cost folks their life. Intemperance, no self-control, no real spirit looking to it. And if you think hard enough in your life, you may not even have to think that hard, you'll know of those others that in your time, because of their intemperance, the cost of it. And so in this passage of Scripture, the Lord calls us to live that temperate, spirit-controlled life that would touch every aspect of our life. And I think here in Corinthians, Paul draws our attention to some principles that help us to live by it. The focus, if you will, of that person who's living that spirit-controlled life of temperance. And the first one we see he draws our attention is a reward to obtain. Verse 24, you know the verse well. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. He speaks of this fact that there is a reward to be won. He would talk about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, writing back to this church again, using these games as an illustration. He would say, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. He said, so we labor in this life, whether it's here or there, when we see him, that our lives would be accepted of him and it would be acceptable before him. And then he said this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. He says there, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, the Lord's drawing our attention, as he does in this passage of Scripture as well. We are all in a race, whether you know it or not. If we've come to Christ as our Savior, you're in. You joined the race, you signed up, that moment of salvation, that moment you made a decision to trust as Christ as your personal Savior, and God puts you into his ministry, into his service, and to run his race, and we're all in it, and one day we'll all stand before that judgment seat of Christ, and we will all give an account for what we have done with what he has entrusted us with, whether it's good or bad, and we will all receive a reward for it, for the way we've lived our life and the way we've lived for him. And in Revelation chapter 4, 10 through 11, I think we get a glimpse of what we'll do with those things we have earned. It says this, and the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. But it says this, and they cast their crowns before the throne. They cast their crowns before the throne. I think of that day, one day when the rapture comes and God calls us up out of this world. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air. The tribulation unfolds down here on earth as God does his dealings with men here, but you and I stand at that judgment seat of Christ where we see the examination not of sin. I'm thankful that was dealt with at Calvary. Amen. He won't be weighing out my sin and putting that in the balance, but my race that I have run for him. He left me here on purpose. Since May of 1995, when I came to Christ, he left me on purpose with a race to run, and he will measure out my life and the reward to be won. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he'd say other things about it, how some of it will be burnt away. There's some mercy in those flames, isn't there? There's some things I'll be glad they will burn away. I'm glad they'll be gone and forever ever dealt with. But the reality is, there's also those things we have earned in the way we've lived our life when we stand before the Lord. Will I have anything in my hand? And what will I do with those things? I'll be able to cast them at his feet and worship my Savior and thank him for the life that he has given me for my salvation. The rewards earned in this life, we put on mantles and on shelves and put them to the wall, and maybe occasionally you look to them, or maybe they find themselves into a box that you rarely open, right? Something that's there that they may have value to you, but to others maybe not as much. The reality is one day we stand before the Lord and we're rewarded according to the way we've lived our life, and I have the opportunity to take those things and tell my Lord, thank you, I love you. Thank you, I love you. How many times has God said those things to you? Calvary, the greatest illustration. I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times going through life have you seen the love of God in your life as you've seen him meet a need or answer a prayer or maybe just take care of you in a way you weren't even expecting and you knew God was paying attention? The opportunity to be in his service and to be able to serve him after he's done so much for us. One day, the opportunity comes to us to look at my Lord and say, thank you, Lord. I love you. And in this life, I lay in store for that day. Not so I can have some crown on my mantle in glory, not so I can have a better adorned mansion when I get into heaven, but that I may take the things in the way that I've lived my life and lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to know the way I lived my life was meant to say, I love you. Thank you. A reward to be obtained. And he's reminding us that we are all in that race. Whether I recognize it or not, whether I claim it or not, the day that I came to Christ as my Savior, I entered in, and God has given me the incredible opportunity to humble myself before Him and say, Lord, I love You. And talk about an incredible opportunity. After He has done so much for us, that we have that time and glory from the way that we have lived our life to see our Savior, humble ourselves before Him, worship our God, lay those things at His feet and say, Lord, I am thankful. I love You. You are worthy of worship. How do those things come? The way I run today. The way I run tomorrow. I am laying in store those things that I will be able to lay at His feet. And there's a call to temperance. And when you think about that day, it should put a desire in our heart to live each day in a way that matters for that day, that I can look my Savior in the eye or humble myself before Him and say, Lord, I love You and I'm thankful. There's a reward to be obtained. There's a course to run. Verse 24 says it this way, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. In the book of Timothy, Paul would say this to Timothy. He'd say this, And if any man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He said, it's not just about running, you've got to run the right direction, right? And there's no cheating along the way. You run His course, run it His way. And that's the course He set. And in this passage of Scripture, we get a glimpse of what that course is. If you skip up to verse 19 and read into this passage, it says, Paul would say, For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that were under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, or as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? The course, it's the gospel course, my friend. The course to run is the gospel course. That our lives are consumed in our life with sharing the gospel with others. There, it would say this in verse 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. He would say, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To the wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You're not just a dad, you're a dad with the gospel. You're not just a mom. You're a mom with a gospel. You're not just a grandparent. You're a grandparent with a gospel. You're not just an employee. You're an employee with a gospel. You're not just an employer. You're an employer with the gospel. You're not just a citizen of this country. You're a citizen of this country with a gospel. You're not just a student. You're a student with the gospel. In every aspect of our life, the gospel is meant to have a core part of our life, that as we live this life, we recognize the course that I run is this course of the gospel. Why is it God left us behind? Why did God not call me home the moment of salvation? Why was it that the day that I was saved, he knew I would struggle with sin. He knew I would struggle in this life. He knew I'd have battles to wage. So why didn't He just take me into His presence? Because I had a race to run. Because I had a race to run. Because I had a life to live according to His will. I had folks to share the gospel with along the way, that I would bring others into His presence the moment we all arrive. Paul speaks of this course. There is a race to be run, and we're in it. There is a reward to be won. But that course he is stressed at, and he says, if we'll run it, we must run it lawfully. Don't run your race for something God's not rewarding. must run it lawfully. You must run it according to his purpose and his plan, according to what he's after. If we're not careful, we pursue a whole bunch of things. How easy it is to pursue things in this life that in all honesty may not matter into eternity. We all work in this world. We all live in this world, but you're not here for that. You're here for the gospel's sake. And those are God's means of using you to spread the gospel where you're at. Because one day that trumpet's going to sound, and you and I are going to be caught up together to be with him. You know what teaches me temperance is when I realize something. There is a reason I am still on this earth, and the reason is the gospel. It is the gospel. God places us in different parts of society with different vocations and different families and all of that, interacting with different people. So that in all those places you and I go, we would go with the gospel. A course to be run. There's a reward to be obtained. There's a course for us to run. The same course, it's the same course our Savior ran. In John 20, 21 through 22, it says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Mark 2, 17. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them that they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the same course he ran. You know, one of the things that keeps us in temperance is when we realize is what I'm doing, is what I'm doing going to hurt or forward the cause of the gospel in Christ? Temperance. You know, we ought to ask ourselves when you go to work tomorrow, at the end of the day, did the way I worked enable me to share the gospel or hinder the going forth of the gospel? Would I want to witness to that fella that I just spent all day with in my workplace? Could I witness to that person after I left the restaurant that I was at? Can I share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does my life before my family demonstrate someone who is caught up with Christ? Or does it demonstrate something that will hurt the cause of Christ? Because I'm in a race. I'm in a race, and the course that's been set before me is the one that Christ has set, and it's concerned with the gospel. It's the same course that he came for, that sinners might be saved. And he went to a cross and died in that place and ascended up into glory. And before he ascended up into glory, he turns to us and hands off the baton and says, "Go run. Go run. Go ye therefore. Go run." And if we're not careful, we miss the baton. We don't pick it up. I saw some clips of some running some of those baton races, and they wouldn't have wanted to hand it to me. All right, that's what I'll say. Right? But just someone hands it off. Christ has handed it off. Our lives, regardless of where we go as we leave these doors tonight, we are meant to run a race that is worthy of his name and worthy of the gospel, that forwards the witness and forwards the gospel and not hinder the gospel. Temperance tells me, live for the gospel, not for yourself. Temperance, a reward to be obtained, a race to be run, a fight to wage. Look at what he says in verse 26. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He merges these two, one who's running, and that word fight, it literally means to box. And he says, "Not as one that beateth the air," shadow boxing, "but purposefully fighting." This is an unusual race. He's recognized, "I want you to run a race, but you better have your dukes up while you run," right? You better be ready as you're going. It's not just that we're just running, we're running in the face of opposition. Sometimes as we serve the Lord, we should expect the opposition in life. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5, he would say this to Paul would say to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He says, you're going to face it. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And no man that warreth entangleth him with the affairs of this life. He calls him a soldier. In 2 Timothy 3:11 through 15, he said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He says, it will wax worse and worse. He said, the race that you run comes with opposition. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil. There's the devil, there's the world, and in all honesty, there's our own flesh. But as you're serving him, friend, there is a fight to be waged. The Christian life was not meant to be a life of ease. God didn't save you to make it easy for you. Sometimes we're looking for it to be easy. Friend, if it wasn't easy for Jesus, why would we ever expect it to be easy for us? He did not save us so that you and I could walk through life and just with ease, with no burdens to carry. Matter of fact, he would tell us in Scripture, he would say, take up your cross and follow me. He would say this, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he didn't say there's no burden to carry. He would say, endure hardness as a good soldier. He would tell his disciples in Matthew 5, blessed are you, men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He said, some will slander your name. They will try to tear you apart and wear down your name. Endure hardness. There's a battle to be waged. I like the song. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. God never promised ease. And remember what Paul would say? He'd say in Philippians, he'd talk about the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering. With all that he suffered for us, it should almost be like we're looking for the opportunity to do it for him. Or if it costs me, what you did cost so much more for me. Not running from the fight, but looking for the fight. I'm not talking about being a brawler. Being someone who is willing to serve the Lord and run the course and realize this, that it will cost me. This old flesh will get in my way. And he would use those words in Galatians to crucify the flesh. So I should put it down. The world will provide its lures, its distractions, but I should fight them off. So the ungodly will on occasion, even slander. You know, be leery of when the world's slandering a Christian. It may not all be true, right? Don't we live in a time in which an accusation seems to equal a conviction? And that's not who we're to be as a Christian. Slander. Evil be spoken of you falsely. A fight to be waged. Distractions to avoid. There's a distraction to avoid. Verse 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul would write this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost about Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and hath departed unto Thessalonica. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. To lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There's the sin that besets us. And there's the weights that beset us. There's the distractions that we get in our life. Anybody drive down the road, some people are glancers, some people are gawkers, all right? Some people see something along the road, they glance at it, and they come back. Other people are gawkers. They're like, wah, right? Scare you to death, all right? And glancers and gawkers, yeah, anyway. Yeah, the rumble strip, right, on the side of the road. I've been woken up from many naps that way. Felt my life flashing before me in that moment. Death comes unexpectedly, all right? But glancers and gawkers. If we're not careful, if we're not careful in our life, we can get caught up with a whole lot of things that will move us off the course God intended us to be on. Some of it's flat out sin, right? Some of it's the sin that we allow into our life. We walk in it, it sidetracked us, and then other times it's just flat out getting caught up with good things but not the right things. Things you may not be able to say, well, the Bible said thou shalt not, but God certainly didn't say thou shalt do. Things that we have allowed to track, keep us off from our service of God. God calls us to do something for him, and yet we do not do it because of something God didn't put in his word. There's the distractions. And I think this Christian temperance teaches us I should avoid not only the sin, but what are the things that will hinder me. Hey, friend, those sports going on today, only one person goes home with a gold in one event. Only one. Someone gets a silver, someone gets a bronze, and a whole lot of people get nothing. Nothing. A lifetime. Can you imagine that? Those athletes, boy, their parents were pouring into them long before they did, right? A lifetime. And get there. Now, it's an amazing thing just to get there. Walk away with nothing. And if we're not careful, Christian, we can allow ourselves to be distracted by the things that there is no award awaiting us for in glory. When you walk in your workplace, remember this, the gospel is meant to be in my life. In my home, the gospel is meant to be a part of it. In my church service, the gospel is meant to be a part of it. In the friendships that I have, the gospel is meant to be a part of it. My life is meant to be running a course wherever God has put me, where the gospel is something that is shared and a testimony that is had that makes it able to be shared. The distractions, live in the word, call upon the Lord, walk in the Spirit, flee temptations. Avoid the things that will keep you and hurt your testimony for God. Psalms 119, 9 through 11 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A temperate man, a temperate Christian, is a Christian of the word. A Christian of the word. Matthew 26, 41, the Lord would say, watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. A temperate man is a man of prayer. Galatians 5, 16 through 7, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. A temperate man is a spirit-led man. He's pursuing the things God has called him to. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee ye also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Temperate man knows what to run from and who to run to. Temperance. Avoid the sin and the pursuits that do not forward the things of Christ. Finally, we see a consequence to consider. Look at verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul thought about some consequences in his life, didn't he? 1 Corinthians, he called them this way in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. A cast away, saved by so as by fire. To stand before God, our works tried, nothing in our hand, but still in his presence. That's better than nothing, isn't it? But Paul said, I'm concerned, lest if I don't bring my body into subjection, he said, when I have been a preacher to others, I myself should be someone to be cast aside and cast away. So I don't want to be that. I'm reminded of Proverbs 25, 26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. The first year I pastored there in Indianapolis. I'd been an associate pastor before, pastoring that first year, and there at Charity Baptist Church in Indianapolis. The fellow that was preaching the night that I was called to preach got caught in some serious sin. Did jail time for it. Four other preachers I knew, that a couple of them have had serious impact on my life that year, fell into moral sin. Five. I remember going home and, man, I was bawling. Because people that had a huge impact on my life had fallen. And then the thought came to my mind, if it can happen to them, it can happen to me. It can happen to me. Do not think. Matter of fact, he warns us against that very thing in this very next chapter in Corinthians in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. But verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you find yourself among the company of those who think they stand, you find yourself in the presence of those who fall. Take heed lest he fall. You know why? That corrupt spring. When a righteous man falls, it's like a corrupt spring. Nobody wants to drink from a corrupt spring. You drink from a corrupt spring, it's going to poison you. You drink of that corrupt spring, and next you know that thing, that corrupt spring spreads it out, and all who drink from it find poison. Those fellows that I mentioned who fell into sin became the excuse for many to walk away from God, and I know of some. The excuse for many. Well, so-and-so. Well, so-and-so. Now, to be frank, no man's sin is an excuse for you to sin. That's an excuse that will not hold up in God's court. And if it does, friend, you are looking in the wrong place for the one to follow. But do you consider the consequence of what might happen if you fall? That's what he's calling us to do here. Consider the consequence. It's good to look around sometimes at your life and say, who will hurt if I become intemperate? Look at your home, your family, your children, your grandkids, those who look to you as a Christian. Who will fall? Who will be poisoned? How far will your corrupt spring reach? And who will be tainted? No man sins alone, friend. Consider it. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on and are what? They are punished. And that verse is repeated twice in the book of Proverbs. A prudent man looks around. I would do wise to look around and say, right there, here, folks that I know, consider the consequence. Hey, and by the way, consider the consequence if you don't fall. Consider the consequence if you look to your life and say, you know what? I will avoid sin. I will live for the Lord. I will lay off the weights that so easily beset me, and I will run this course in front of me, this course with the gospel, and live my life accordingly for him, and I'll lean on his Spirit. Tell you the consequence. Someone's coming with you, my friend. Someone's coming with you. As much as I can look at some folks who fell, I can look at some who kept going. Who've kept going. Some that have pulled me along when I needed it. Consider the consequence. Temperate is, it's the forgotten fruit of the Spirit. Usually when we think of the fruits of the Spirit, we're thinking, well, give me that love. I need some love today. Lord, I need to feel the love of God in my life, and I certainly need to offer it to others in my life. joy. Give me the joy of the Lord in my life. I need to walk in the joy of the Lord is a strength, and I sure need some joy today. Or give me peace. I certainly need it. You need some temperance too, friend. And I'll tell you what, you get some temperance, you'll know more joy and more peace, by the way. Temperance. Lord, help me to live today in all things that I run to obtain. I run to obtain, and I run a course. I'm not just running aimlessly, but I'm on purpose running this course of the gospel, making sure that my life is of such that I can share the gospel and others want to hear, making sure the gospel is a part of my life as I share the gospel, that regardless of your vocation or your place or your role that you play in this world, that the gospel is a big part of it, and sharing it, that in our life that we look towards this fact that there are some things that I should flat avoid, and they're not all a sin, but they can be a distraction. And then consider this consequence. Who gets poisoned if you fall? I've seen poison from others. I've been poisoned for a moment. When you find a corrupt spring, quit drinking from it, friend. By the way, it'll keep you out of a lot of things. Quit drinking from it. But a consequence. Consequence to avoid or to consider. That one day when I stand before the Lord, as a result of a temperate life run for Him, as I receive those rewards in my hand, not so I can lift up my head and say, look what a good job I've done. But I can say, but by the grace of God, I stand here today. And I'm going to take these rewards and lay them at His feet and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Not be left there with nothing in my hand and no way to say thank you because of an intemperate, inconsiderate life. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the scripture. I thank you this passage of scripture and this matter of temperance. I pray that we live the temperate life this week. Lord, and with our life, we'd give consideration to the race you've called us to run, that we'd lean on that Holy Spirit of God to strengthen us through the things that we face in our life. And I think some of the greatest opposition may not be from people. It may be from within in our own life. And I pray that we would lean on you and we walk in your word and call upon you in prayer. And we'd flee those temptations and we'd live that temperate life in pursuit of Christ. That when we stand before you one day, we'll have something to lay at your feet to worship the God who has done so much for us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you can say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Preacher, I know that if I died right now, I'd be with Christ. That's settled for me. If that's your testimony, you raise your hand and say, preacher, I know it. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Anybody here tonight, you'd be like I was one Wednesday night when I was unsure and I trusted Christ. But anybody here say, preacher, I know that I'm not sure about my salvation, but I want to take care of that tonight. Anybody like that, you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. How many say, preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart, this matter of temperance. Maybe it was a specific matter God laid on your heart. May not even have been something that I said, but that Holy Spirit just tugged on your heart about a matter of temperance. Maybe it's just a reminder. You're running a race. You're running a race. If you'd say, preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart this evening, would you raise your hand? And would you stand with me as that pianist begins to play as God has spoken to your heart and through the scripture tonight, I pray, do business with him.